In the morning, 6:24:20, Wednesday. Top Clinton Foundation donor and Hollywood film producer falls to the death from LA high-rise. Steve Bing, philanthropist, film producer, and prominent Democratic political donor whose producing credits include The Polar Express and Get Carter, died Monday. Bing, 55, fell to his death from a high-rise building in Century City, according to a law enforcement source who was not authorized to comment. A spokesperson for the Los Angeles Police Department said it responded to a call at around 1 p.m. regarding the death of a man in his 50s in the 10,000 block of Santa Monica Boulevard in Century City. Known to be media shy, the real estate scion was a Harvard-Westlake graduate who inherited $600 million fortune at the age of 18. Dug up some information on this guy. Bing had become the... This is from a year or so ago. Bing had become the NRDC's biggest donor. Clinton was guest speaker at an event, Bill Clinton. The pair hit it off, and Bing became a certified FOB, or friend of Bill. That's all you have to put on his gravestone, right? FOB. Oh, another FOB. FOB RIP. You can't make this stuff. He was a certified FOB. He and Bill are hooking themselves together for a string of post-presidential ventures. This previously, when Hillary Clinton's appointment as Secretary of State necessitated the publication of donors to her husband's charitable foundation, it emerged that Bing was one of the top benefactors there, too, having put in somewhere between $10 and $25 million. He also had given Bill Clinton several million dollars for consulting and speaking fees, I believe. Bing had continued supporting Hillary Clinton's presidential bid, even as others in Hollywood were defecting to the upstart campaign of Barack Obama. And of course, both are men of certain scandalous reputations. In fact, Clinton has formed a tight friendship not just with Bing, but also with Ron Burkle, the 56-year-old supermarket mogul with a penchant for leggy blondes half his age. Burkle himself, great gossip column fodder, has long been a buddy of Bing, with whom he also shares a love of movies. The trio has been spotted out on the town together in places as far-flung as Paris. Hillary campaign insiders fretted so much about the friendships that their concerns spilled over into a Vanity Fair article last year. Laced with anonymous quotes that questioned whether Bill really should be private jetting around with skirt-chasing, scandal-tinged posse. Always leave it to Vanity Fair to spice up the language or completely blow off and spike the Jeffrey Epstein story. They could have broken that open decades ago. Instead, they spiked the story from a reporter, and how many more people was he allowed to molest, rape, and pillage? and traffic. Great job, Vanity Fair. You should be proud of yourselves. Shout out to everybody out there on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Subscribestar is growing impressively. It is exceeding my expectations, as is the podcast, and we appreciate all the support. That's really the best way to chip in, help us keep the lights on. We do appreciate support, big and small, short and tall. Just coming off the More Pain show, we broke some news on there, more than some. And that's also on the subscriber area of those platforms I just mentioned. And the Big Wednesday podcast will follow in a matter of hours, and we will talk about similar issues, as well as a great interview with Maria Albanese. A lot of people have asked me to have her back on. We had her back a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, and it was quite the show. This one will also rival that. She she got me yapping about the media. And, of course, that was at the tail end, but coronavirus is front and center. The CoronaCon, and she has fantastic insights and knowledge and facts that I think are going to be almost like a classroom session for a lot of folks listening. We need that. I need that myself. I need to become as much information as I can. I'm like a sponge when it comes to this stuff. I want to know how these guys are playing us and playing you so that I can better arm myself against, you know, saying the wrong thing or promoting the wrong story when it really it's just some kind of a ruse to get more money from you and control over you. It's about money control. We've talked about that. Where are we at? Second headline, Summer of Love over. Seattle will move to dismantle CHOP. Chaz zone after shootings, the mayor says. Oh, the mayor. Somebody woke up the mayor. Well, you know what they say. If you love somebody, set them free. The Summer of Love, they're going to set it free. It was an expression of community. We're going to invent community. We're going to find what the soul of our city is all about. Was about vagrants defecating in the street and shooting each other. Seattle will move to the police-free zone, known as the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, or CHOP, after two recent shootings, one of which was deadly. Mayor Jenny Durkan announced this Monday. Remember, she said, "This is like a block party. It's like a summer of love." Yeah. It's a CPR training course is what it was. The mayor said the violence was distracting from changes sought by thousands of peaceful protesters seeking to address racial inequity and police brutality. You know, we could really make a statement about this police brutality if there wasn't so much goddamn violence. Activists set up CHOP in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood about 2 weeks ago, barricading off the area after police evacuated a ransacked precinct building there. I think the police will be able to go back home. I'm supposed to. Oh, man. On Monday, some CHOP members called for changes to the zone over the violence. In an open letter addressed to organizers, a group of 25 activists and volunteers asked leaders to set up a safe use area on the outskirts of the zone.
Now, can we have a safe zone inside this danger zone?
It's Kenny Loggins at Highway to the Danger Zone. I thought the whole thing was a safe area where you could express yourself. After about, 10 days, they're like, we need a safe area inside the safe area because this area is just not safe. They also wanted to create different signage encouraging intoxicated persons to stay away and implement a curfew to prevent destructive behavior at night. Wait a minute. Destructive behavior at night? You guys tore the city to shreds. You graffiti the hell out of the entire area with epithets against the police, the fire department, and government in general. The entire operation was built on destructive behavior at night. Wasn't that one of the activities? You got basket weaving at 1 p.m. and fire, Molotov cocktail, and small munitions in the evening.
Now, we would like to acknowledge that no organization, protests, or revolutions are perfect, the group wrote. Now, we must all be willing to collectively learn and react quickly to mistakes made within our movement. We do not want to see what was started with the intention of lifting the BLM message destroyed before us all.
That kind of went out the window when you start shooting people, I think. Mistakes. I like to say,
well, we need to react quickly to mistakes.
But when people try to react quickly to help the people that were shot, you wouldn't let EMTs and the police in your zone, in the fire department. So I don't know what kind of city you guys are running, but, you know, I think we found out. You put enough bird brains together who never had a job, and this is what you get. You almost feel bad for the people that got shot and the person that died, but if you're hanging out there and you didn't understand where this was going, there's something wrong with you to begin with mentally. I think everybody knew where this was headed, except that bird brain mayor out there. A real cement head. She thought this was going to be a block party. Cue Kool and the Gang celebration. A new headline, a Stanford professor, the median infection fatality rate of COVID-19 for those under 70 is just a 0.04%. Mr. Blutarski, 0.00 grain point average. A scientist known for his contrarian takes on the dire COVID-19 predictions has released a paper claiming that antibody evidence suggests that median coronavirus infection fatality rate for those under 70 was just 0.04%. Let me take a drink. Bear with me. Fever when you hold me tight. Fever. John Ioannidis, a professor of epidemiology and population health at Stanford University, argues in a paper published earlier this month that COVID-19 seroprevalence studies, which means infection rates using the presence of antibodies in blood samples, typically show a much lower fatality than initially speculated in the earlier days of the pandemic. What a surprise.
King Fauci was on the Hill today testifying in front of lawmakers that everybody must wear masks. Yeah, even and everybody agrees that wearing masks is safe. Not true. Not true. Another lie. And Fauci, what about those models you were using?
All wrong. If you were wagering in some kind of contest, you'd be bankrupt by now. You've been wrong on every single thing regarding this. And when you figure out probability and odds and things like that, it's because it's on purpose. You could flip a coin and be right more than this guy was. In the research paper, which has not yet been peer-reviewed, Ioannidis surveyed 23 different seroprevalence studies and found that among less than 70-year-olds, infection fatality rates range from 0.00, Mr. Blutarski, to 0.23% with a median of 0.04%. The median fatality rate of all cases, he writes, is 0.26%. significantly lower than some earlier estimates that suggested rates as high as over 3%. 3%. 0.26% is not 3%. I'm no math genius, but I know that much. Fauci on the Hill today. He says anything. Anything goes with this guy. Makes it up as he goes. You know, he makes it up as he goes along. Do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of John McCain, this old school guard. They just say whatever they want. It can literally change from conversation to conversation, from day to day, and they don't care. They're institutional crats. Been in and around D.C. for 30, 40, 45 years. They don't care. They're making the dollars, baby. And I've said, I want to see Fauci's financial disclosures. Nobody will give it up, though. It would be shocking, I guarantee you. Headline, tear them down. BLM activist Sean King calls for destruction of Jesus Christ statues and churches, white supremacy and oppression and racist propaganda. Isn't this the dope who's white, but he calls himself black? I just read something where he started some kind of newspaper that was originally started by Frederick Douglass. It's like the oldest, one of the oldest newspapers in the country. He tried to bring it back and he had all this investor money and people that he hired said he was misappropriating funds and smoked through the, this isn't my words, he squandered the money and the venture failed. This guy should be hiding under a rock. People call this guy Talcum X. He's the white Malcolm X. I think he's one of the greatest nicknames ever. What do we got music for this fool? Depeche Mode. Sean King, the controversial Black Lives Matter activist, known for pushing false claims. It's a nice way of saying hoaxes, isn't it? The Daily Wire is so nice to people. They really are. It's kumbaya. He called for the destruction of Jesus Christ statues and Christian churches for their depiction of the white Holy Family, which King argued are forms of white supremacy and racist propaganda that promote oppression. I'm just curious. I'm a white guy pretending to be black. I don't understand where that is. Is that racist? If I came on here tomorrow and I said that I am no longer white, I am black, they would kick me off of every platform. They'd say it was some kind of a trick or some kind of a, you know, I'm besmirching everybody. Of course, I would never do that because I am who I am. And it doesn't make any sense to try to pretend that you're a different race. I don't get it. Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. The dope posted via Twitter on Monday. Well, it didn't say dope. Whoops, I slipped. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been. Okay. In the Bible, King continued, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. This guy, the dumbest dude on planet Earth. Last time I checked, you can't get to Denmark from the Middle East on a fucking donkey when you're pregnant. It's a little reality check. I'm fact checking this, yeah. Tear them down, he wrote. In a follow-up post, King called for the destruction of stained glass windows, murals, and other parts of Christian churches and buildings that depict biblical figures as white. Yeah, that's going to go over well, especially in the African American community who have built a lot of these Christian churches with stained glass windows, murals, and other parts of the buildings that depict biblical figures as white. These guys, this is not the hill to die on with the African American community who are very religious and Christian. Don't mess with their Jesus and don't mess with my Jesus. Sean King, you can get your own personal Jesus, like they're singing about here, and do whatever you want with him, but don't mess with my Jesus. And don't mess with the Jesus of African Americans and other races who are free to, in this country, to practice whatever religion they like. It's part of the Bill of Rights. I'm sure you probably want to get that also changed and crushed, and somehow the Bill of Rights is a form of oppression to everybody, especially white guys who are posing as black guys. Can't even, the fact that this guy even has a forum is bizarre. That this guy has not been locked up in an institution is actually been locked up, period. A lot of these hoaxes he's been behind have been downright dangerous. Yes, he wrote, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friend should also come down. They are a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. Many on Twitter pointed out to King that differing cultures depict biblical figures in different ways that resemble their own community. Ethiopia, for instance, has depicted Jesus as black for more than 1,500 years, the report highlighted. Likewise, images of Jesus appearing Asian can be found throughout the Far East. Is this entire thing lost on everybody? But let me get this straight. A guy who is white, who says he's black, is calling for the abolition of anything that depicts Jesus, a white guy. I don't even, it's so insane. It should be replaced by a black guy. Is that basically what we're saying? The entire argument, many on Twitter pointed out to King that different cultures. Many on Twitter should point out that this guy is white and he thinks he's black. I don't get it. In 2019, King recklessly exploited the shooting death of a 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes. This is what I was talking about. This guy, who was tragically caught in the crossfire to stoke racial fear and hatred, wrote Michelle Malkin in a piece for National Review. The Black Lives Matter activist and columnist for The Intercept immediately pounced. Is this dopes at The Intercept now? Glenn Greenwald, you're hitting rock bottom with this dope. Using his huge Twitter platform, followed by 1.1 million, to cast the incident as a racial hate crime. This just shows you how good 1.1 million followers on Twitter is. I'll stick with my 300,000, 400,000 of smart people who know that I'm a white guy, not posing as a white guy. 1.1 million idiots follow this toolbox. He used his huge Twitter platform, followed by 1.1 million, to cast the incident as a racial hate crime. King splashed a photo of a Robert Cantrell, a white man who had been arrested for robbery the same day as the Barnes shooting, all over social media. The men allegedly connected to the actual Barnes death were black. Or were they white? When it's Sean King reporting, how would we really know? Since he's a white guy who identifies himself as a black guy, maybe he also identifies black guys as white guys. So you never can tell with Talcum X. This guy, Greenwald, what happened over there at the Intercept? Someone intercepted your balls when you hired this dummy. He got tossed out of the New York Daily News, which is really unbelievable. That's like being asked to leave the sewer in New York City. Sir, you're down there in the sewer. Please come out. Please come out. You're not... you're giving the sewer a bad name. And now he's at the Intercept. Well, I can go into that another time. Own personal Jesus. The world's upside down. The very fact that this guy has a forum is unbelievable. I tried to like engage him a couple times. He blocked me in 3 minutes on Twitter a couple years ago. And I was like, you're a dope. You're a dope. Which is kind of funny because when I was growing up in a kind of a tough neighborhood, if you tried to act like black, and this was like my black friends, they would give you a hard time. Be like, dude, you're white. Calm down. Calm down. Don't try to be black. You're white. Just be you. Right. But now people, 1.1 million followers, I like embrace this guy. Oh, this guy is black. No, he's not. He needs the kind of guys I grew up with. The Italians, the African-American dudes, and some of the Polacks to say, dude, you're not. They would say, stop it, or we're going to beat the shit out of you. You do that one more time, we're going to beat you down. He needed friends like that, but he obviously didn't have them. Defies logic. His parents must be horrified.
We just want him to be happy.
That's the fucking problem. Everybody wants their kids to be happy. I mean, when they're acting like an idiot, you got to step in. Headline, no hate crime. FBI determines a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage to be a rope handle. Is this Bubba Wallace or Jussie Wallace? I don't know. Let's see. Here are my choices for this song. Confidence Man by Jeff Healey or Little Bitch by The Specials. decisions. As I take a little sip of water. I like Jeff Healey. I like The Specials too. We'll go with Confidence Man. R.I.P. Mr. Healy. After a short investigation into reports of a noose found in the garage of NASCAR's lone black full-time driver, the FBI has determined that what was at first believed to be a noose was actually a pull rope. P-U-L-L rope. You know, like to close a garage, a pull-down rope. Agents determined that the rope had been in place there since at least last October. Folks, it took 15 fucking FBI agents to figure this case out. Thank God they were able to get to the bottom of it. Thank God they are keeping us safe. Thank God they are attending to such important national security issues just like this. Thank God. I'm sure the Clintons are happier than anybody else that the FBI is focused on such important matters like this. Agents determined the rope is actually a handle. U.S. Attorney Jay Town and FBI Special Agent George Johnny Sharp Jr. Sounds like a club act. Tonight, Jay Town and on guitar, Johnny Sharp Jr. Come on in. First drink's free. Said its investigation determined, although the noose is now known to have been in the garage, number 4 in 2019. Nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned the garage number 4 last week. Thank God the U.S. attorney got to the bottom of this. If only 15 agents could have investigated the witness after witness who came to the FBI say how they were molested, raped, fondled, trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. That never happened, but 15 agents all over this. A crew for Richard Petty Motorsports discovered the news Sunday at the Alabama racetrack. NASCAR was alerted and contacted the FBI, which sent 15 agents to the track to investigate. They determined no federal crime was committed. Seems a little strange that NASCAR would alert the FBI.
I think there's a rope in here that's tied to a garage, right? This is a big case.
The statement said the garage stall was assigned to Wallace last week in advance of the race scheduled for Sunday, but held on Monday because of rain. Through a video confirmed by NASCAR, it was discovered the noose was in that garage as early as October. Now, it's calling it a noose. It's not a noose. They said it's not a noose. So why in the story are they calling it a noose? They do this shit all the time. Why the agents continue to refer to the rope as a noose after determining there is no hate crime and no way anyone could have known Wallace would use the stall is unknown.
It's not a noose. We've determined that the noose has been there for quite some time. What the fuck is the matter with you, cement heads? You guys go to an academy to become this stupid?
Actually, they do. Wallace made headlines recently by asking NASCAR to remove the Confederate flag from league events. He has also driven his number 43 car with Black Lives Matter painted on it with a paint scheme. Hey, Wallace, here's a little advice. Win a fucking race, and then you can run your mouth. Another guy who can't win and just likes to complain. Unbelievable. If I pulled this shit, the folks in my life that were role models would have said, yo, dude, cool your jets, do something, okay, achieve something, and then maybe you can get on a pedestal and try to change things or complain. Don't come in here and be the squeaky wheel. Don't be that guy. I wonder what the, not that I'm a big NASCAR guy, but I wonder what, how many fans this has alienated in NASCAR. I would say the number is fairly significant. But I guess that remains to be seen. Headline watch. I wanted to show you guys something that, we'll do it at the end of the show because it's really... It was something that broke right before. I want to show you a video. Broke right before I went on here after the Moore Payne show, and I wanted to pull the video, and I'll do a screen share at the end here. We can do it all. We can do music. We can do audio. We can do video. As I become more versed and maybe we get a producer and things like that, we can expand our offerings. But for right now, you just get... me and my slow-ass arms and poor attitude, according to many people. I like my attitude. A Minnesota police union boss, we've been barred from viewing body cam footage in the George Floyd case. Administration broke our policy. I mean, what do you want a better view of the guy getting choked out, I guess? I don't know. This is my song, pretty much my new house song for Minnesota police. We got to get out of this place. I thought the Minnesota police department was a track team the way they were running away.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Coming right at us. Lieutenant Bob Knoll, president of the Police Officers Federation in Minneapolis, said Tuesday during an interview with CBS's Gail King, the administration has violated policy by refusing to allow the union leaders to view body camera footage involved with the George Floyd arrest. Seems to me that allowing your police station to burn to the ground and your city to burn to the ground while you ran away seems like a much bigger infraction than not allowing leaders to view body camera footage. This guy, Lieutenant Bob Kroll, should be hiding under a rock. Instead, he's on national TV. According to Mr. Kroll, his team had only been allowed to see what the public had seen. Isn't that enough?
Now, we want a better view, for Christ's sakes. We have the footage. Let's get a better view.
Barring him from being able to come forward with an informed decision on the arrest, particularly when it comes to the supporting officers involved. Here's an informed decision. Three dudes don't need to sit on top of another dude. And when the guy urinates, his bladder gives away. Pretty good sign that the heart is next and the lungs. These guys ever worked the street before?
That's part of the problem, Gail, is we're not allowed to see the video. The administration broke our policy, which gives us the ability to see, to review the video.
Yeah. Your city's in ashes and you're worried about a fucking body cam video. Any human being that watched that knows that shouldn't have ended the way that it did, said Union Director Richard Walker Sr. But we also know that there's more to the story.
Doesn't matter. It's too late. If there's more to the story, it should have already come out. It's too late. They torched the country because of the nonsense that you did and allowed to grow and fester in Minneapolis. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You want body cam footage? You should be looking for new jobs.
They say Floyd never resisted in the statement released. We don't know if he resisted because we haven't seen from the time the officer stopped him until the point he was on the ground. Hey, dummies, you guys are cops, right? This will be part of a criminal trial. Why would they release this? This is work product. It should be under seal if you're going to try to put these cops away. Eventually will be released as part of work product. Doesn't mean it'll be released publicly. If you're ever going to have a jury, okay, and you want the jury to see the footage, you don't want it to be out on the internet so they make a decision before it's presented to them in court. There's just so many things. These guys are just grandstanding. I think they're trying to spin it so you forget what a shitty job they did. King, growing visibly irritated, admonished the leaders for wanting to see the body cam footage before definitely speaking out, suggesting the social media footage was enough. The CBS host became even more irritated, telling the union leaders that by asking for the body camera footage, they are causing extreme upset to many. King even accused the leaders of engaging in the so-called blue wall of silence. Again, I don't know what any of that means. That sounds like a Christmas special on Hallmark. Blue Wall of Silence. He was a cop who fell in love. Something like that. One of these Hallmark. It's coming. Christmas in July. They did it last year. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was 99 degrees out. And it was snowing in some podunk city on Hallmark. I said to my wife, are you insane? She wanted to get in the festive spirit. She turned the air conditioning down to 50. Report, New York City shootings surged 358% over the same time last year. We talked a little bit about this. We'll just touch on it briefly. Do I have any music for that? Oh, Marty Robbins, Big Iron. Love Marty Robbins. To the town of our free road is strange. This is like 1968, I think so. Big Iron. New York City shootings have surged to the point they are now 358% higher than they were at this time last year. NBC4 reports, that's obviously a television station in New York,
Data released Monday shows there were 55 shootings in the last week compared to 12 for the same week in 2019. Over 70 people were injured in the shootings, with victims varying in age 16 to 47. That'll teach those people to go out of the street. Teach you guys to break quarantine. You thought coronavirus was dangerous. Jesus. We talked about that yesterday, so we won't spend too much time on that. Move on to the next one. We're at 40 minutes. Might be zipping through this thing since we got a probably 2.5 hour podcast coming later today. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. So I don't have any problem if this one comes in a little light. Somewhat of a light news day, except for the stuff we'll be breaking tomorrow. Nothing light about that. But that'll be on the main podcast. Good interview coming for sure. Okay, where are we at? Coming to America, Germany warns Antifa militants could enrage and engage in targeted killings. So Germany warns that Antifa militants could engage in targeted killings. This is in Germany, obviously. The Antifa faction in Germany. The German Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution has sounded the alarm over the increased level of violence from far-left Antifa militants, saying murders of political opponents are now possible. According to the German security agency, far-left extremists have become more radical to the point that the development of terrorist structures in left-wing extremism is now a real possibility. I thought Christopher Wray said that right-wing extremists, white guys, were the real danger in America. Boy, that didn't age very well. The 22-page report, which was obtained by the German newspaper Die Welt, adds that even the step of deliberately killing a political opponent no longer seems completely unthinkable. The agency specifically notes several groups within the far-left scene in various German regions which have become more radicalized and have closed off from many in the broader far-left. BFV, that's the, I guess, the Federal Office for Protection, the acronym is BFV, said the left extremists are committed to their own facts and split off from the rest of the scene due to the increasing willingness to use violence. Hey, it sounds like a bunch of left-wing nuts here, too. Split off from the rest of the scene and committed to their own quote-unquote facts. The use of the term facts, very loosely, of course. Uh-oh. It's back. I didn't see this one. We might have to play this at the end of the show. This is a good song. I haven't heard it in a long time, and I think a lot of people like it. No, I think we'll go with something Merle Haggard at the end of the show. Minneapolis PD. We're back to Minneapolis PD. So what, I gotta go back to my song? I'll just play more Sympathy for the Devil. I can't go back to We Gotta Get Out of This Place by the Animals. Minneapolis PD sees a wave of resignations as officers feel betrayed by city officials. Now it's a pity party out there, right? You both made massive mistakes. If your police department had any real leadership, this could have been avoided. Sometimes the police chief has to tell the mayor to go fuck himself, especially this little pipsqueak, gutter snipe, skinny jeans, butter stick, dork, dweeb, mayor. But no, the police chief stood down to this breadstick. At least 7 Minneapolis Police Department officers have recently resigned, and another 7 in the process of separating from the department, currently, as officers feel betrayed by city officials and opposed by the public they serve. What'd you expect? Where did you think this was going? In the aftermath of George Floyd's death, in custody of fired Minneapolis police officers, the city has entertained proposals to dismantle the department altogether, and officers are subject to high levels of hostility from some residents, especially the ones they fired bullets at, the dudes that were on their porch. Get back in the house! God damn. They don't feel appreciated, the police said, former MPD officer Mylon Mason, who is also an expert in the use of force. He wasn't a couple weeks ago. Everybody hates the police right now. I mean, everybody. Some officers have reportedly quit without even going through the formal process, creating additional strain for the department struggling with COVID-19 related budget shortfalls and difficulties in recruitment. Do you think that's really what the problem is? I would say that the problems created by COVID-19 related budget shortfalls and the difficulties in recruitment are a lot less than the fact that you're now patrolling an ashtray. During the protests and riots following Floyd's death, Mayor Jacob Skinny Jeans Fry made the decision to abandon the MPD's third precinct, surrendering it to the protesters and thugs. I added thugs, that's not in the story. Who burglarized it and set it on fire. Bunch of fucking geniuses out here. Right? This guy. That's what happens when you go from student council to mayor of a big city.
I'm a student council president. I'm qualified, goddammit.
Let's give the guy a shot. Son of a bitch, they burnt the city down. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. The decision allegedly made in the interest of officer safety angered officials who felt the city did not have their backs and was siding with the protesters instead. Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously on June 12th to begin the process of disbanding the Minneapolis Police Department and replacing it with a community-based public safety program. That sounds like it's going to work. Some council members are working on a plan to amend the city's charter to remove the requirement that the city fund a minimum number of police officers. What? I don't even understand where that's going or what that's about.
We don't need any police at all. It'll just be like the riots. And we can save a lot of money.
They'll never leave this. They will never live this down, what happened when they torched the third precinct and they were setting in fire inside different places and buildings on fire. And they just, nobody did anything about it. Those images went all over the world. Not only gave Minneapolis a bad name, but the United States of America a bad name. So whatever happens, as far as I'm concerned, you have it coming to yourselves. Membership reflects leadership. You had poor leadership, and that's what you get. And that's how the cookies crumble, as they say. Special thanks to everybody out there on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Really the way you could benefit us the most right now. We do appreciate, and we're doing a video podcast on the pain in the morning. As I speak, I am under the watchful eye of a camera, just like we all are on a regular basis. Might as well have a camera here. put it up. On those platforms, everywhere else you go, you're on camera. At least here I don't have to wear a mask like I'm robbing a bank for no apparent reason. But, I want to show you guys that video before we cut out. You can't even believe this is. Let me see here. I hope there's no echo on this. We're still working that out. I'm kind of a rookie. We may get, if everything works out, hopefully we can get better tech and maybe a producer. Let's go to my Google, my Twitter page. It's on here. Let me set this up. So Andrea Mitchell, the longtime, I call her Broomhilda of the mainstream media. She's out in the street in D.C. today with Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. And they almost get attacked by some of these street urchins and vagrants. It's pretty interesting. Just as a setup, I think Eleanor Holmes Norton is proposing a bill to take down the emancipation statue of President Lincoln in Washington, in a park in D.C. Lincoln freed the slaves, but she wants to take the statue down. Well, thugs and gutter snipes are threatening to tear it down. That would be a bad move. So she's saying they should just take it down. Who the hell's going to vote on this? Lincoln freed the slaves. Now, I don't even know where this is going. But she says something very funny here, and I hope it comes through in the video because it was sent to me right before we went on. So let me switch over here to video. You can still see that. And I'll try to play this, and hopefully it goes through. Let's see. This is Andrea Mitchell, and this is Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. And let's let it rip. Whoops. Let's go back to the beginning here. Look at this guy. Look, this guy is crazy. So they neutralize this guy. And then she says, let's see if you can hear it. She says, where's the police when you need them? It takes me back to Bruce Willis in Die Hard when he's up in the window yelling, welcome to the party, pal. She obviously doesn't get out of her congressional office much. Where's the police when you need them? And she knows she's standing, I think, literally. She's standing on the part of the street where it's painted the defund the police in big yellow letters. And Black Lives Matter. They painted these massive letters in the street. The mayor let them paint the street. This is what you allowed. I mean, and then she's worried about the cops because this vagrant almost got her. He bomb rushed her and a couple security guys like spun the guy off. But that's what she wants to know. We're the police when you need them. I mean, talk about fucking lost in space. Guys, if the communities out there keep electing these morons, this is what we all deserve, unfortunately. The fact, actually, we don't all deserve it. We don't all deserve it. And it's unfortunate that there's so many useful idiots in this country that would even allow this bird brain to become elected. And I don't understand how an African-American congresswoman could propose a bill to have the statue of Abraham Lincoln torn down. That's completely insane. Well, you see that she's completely out of touch. She's out in the street. And unbelievable. But the world is upside down. Nothing makes any sense in D.C. It must be on purpose. We'll talk about that later on at great length on the Big Wednesday podcast coming in a number of hours. I appreciate the And you're not going to want to miss that. It'll be breaking news and then a great interview. I probably said some things I shouldn't have said. But I don't give a shit. We appreciate all the support on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. See you in a few hours. God bless. Take care.
The warden led a prisoner down the hallway to his doom, and I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. And I heard him tell the warden just before he reached my cell, let my guitar playing friend do my request. Let him sing me back home with a song I used to hear. Make my old memories come alive. Take me away and turn back the years. Sing me back home before I die. I recall as Sunday morning a choir from off the street came in to sing a few old gospel songs. And I heard him tell the singers there's a song my mama sang. Could I hear it once before you move along? Won't you sing me back home with a song I used to hear? Make my old memories come alive. Take me away and turn back the years. Same.